which make for peace, and the things by which one may edify another. Do not destroy the works of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for the man who eats with offense. It is good neither to eat meat nor drink wine nor do anything by which your brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak. Do you have faith? Have it to yourself before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith. For whatever is not from faith is sin. Father God, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for your presence. We thank you, Lord, for the love of God that dwells in our hearts. I, like most everybody in this room, just rejoices that we are sons and daughters of God. I am so thankful that I understand that you are a good, good Father, that you withhold no good thing from your children. You love us. You love us enough to die for us. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to enjoy all the emotions that you have put within us. Lord, today we have laughed, we have cried, we have hugged each other and loved each other, and I believe that is perfect according to you. It is the body of Christ. You were our example. I'm sorry we never got to see you throw back your head and laugh from your belly, but I believe you did it often. I thank you, Lord Jesus. You're our example in faith, in love, in purity. In every way, you are our example. Now, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. I've titled this sermon, Conduct Becoming a Believer. You've heard the phrase, conduct unbecoming an officer. There is certain expectations when you're in the military, if you're an officer, or no matter what position you are, there's certain expectations of how you're going to conduct yourself, right? In life. They just expect a certain way of thinking, a certain way of acting and living your life. Well, I got news for you. So does Jesus. There is a certain conduct that he expects from his children. I think for too long, we've made it all about rules. So we're going to discuss that today. But the real conduct is the conduct of love. So simple. Just love each other. Just love and encourage and exhort. You know, you read in the Old Testament how God chose the nation Israel. And he chose it above other nations. And you have to think, why? And he actually answers that question at one point in Scripture. And he says, it's not because you were so great. You were nothing when I chose you. And they literally was. Remember, he chose Abraham when Abraham was fatherless. Abraham is the father of the nation Israel. So he chose Abraham and he chose Israel before they were. They were not, it wasn't like, hey, I like these people. No, he's like, I choose you. And you got to think, why? Why did he choose Abraham? And I don't know, you may have different thoughts on this situation, but I have this thought. I think he saw a truly humble heart in Abraham. I wish that we understood how much God detests pride. God hates pride. God loves humility. And he chose Abraham and the nation of Israel to be his poster children. He said, I want to bless you so that all the earth will know I'm a good, good father. Right? And that's the same way. Have you ever thought, you know, you may think you chose Jesus, but the truth of the matter is he chose you. Why did he choose me? I had nothing to offer him because he's a good, good father. He chose me when I was 7 years old. God chose me and he put his hand upon me and he's never lifted it. He's always been with me. So God gave the children of Israel law. What, about 619, right? Is that close? 617, 619, isn't that right? And they were to keep this law. And largely this law was going to protect them. If you read the law in Leviticus, by and large, it's like, wash your hands if you touch something dead, right? If you handle blood. Well, you know, don't we do that today? Hey, if you cut chicken on a cutting board, make sure you wash it before you put vegetables on it, right? I mean, that's the kind of stuff that the law was. He was trying to protect his people. Now, he gave us the Ten Commandments, and I believe the Ten Commandments are as relevant today as they ever were. I really do. I believe we are to keep the Ten Commandments. But in the New Testament, he said something different. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16, he said this, and I don't have this one on the screen, but he said, "This is the covenant I will make with them after that time. I will put my laws on their heart, and I will write them in their mind." What does Jesus want from us? What is the conduct becoming a believer? He writes it in our heart. It's not a rule book anymore. It's, hey, have a relationship with me. Walk with me. Talk with me, and I will show you the way of life. It's all about developing your relationship with the Lord, not just doing these things and not doing. I told you that God gave the law to the Jews, right? He gave that about 619 laws. But you know what man did? He come along after, and they started adding to the law. They're bright as God. Sometimes we think we're smarter than God, don't we? By the time it's all said and done, there's well over 1,000 laws that the Jews are supposed to keep. That would drive me crazy, keeping all these rules. And then I think, but we do the same thing to each other. Don't we still do that? Don't we still come up with these rules in the church? And no, you got to do it this way. You got to do this and you got to do that. And there's just certain things you got to do. Well, you know, the truth of the matter is just walk in the Spirit. Because God wrote His conduct in your heart. Every one of you. You know right and wrong. Every one of you have this written in your heart, and you've just got to go before the Lord. And that's why when you do things, there's a little nudge in your spirit, isn't there? Yeah. Oh, I wish I hadn't said that. Oh, I shouldn't be here. I shouldn't be looking at this. What is that? It's your conscience. No, I think it's more so. I think it's God working through your conscience. Do you know the Bible says we can sear our conscience? It means you can. Have you ever met somebody who was a habitual liar? They have seared their conscience and all they know to do. They just lie. They could tell the truth just as easy, but they just lie. You may sear your conscience, but you ain't going to sear the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is going to keep speaking to you. But there's a verse that says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. Don't grieve the Holy Ghost. How do we grieve the Holy Ghost? When we get that nudge, when we get that urge and that direction, when we say, I ain't doing that. I ain't doing that. I ain't doing that. That grieves the Holy Ghost. When you do something that you know you ought not do. Now, I read the scripture, but I've got to go over to Galatians chapter 5. And we talked about this a few weeks ago. But I don't want anyone to leave here and say, you know that preacher, he just preaches anything goes. No, he does not. He does not believe that at all. In Galatians chapter 5, he says in verse 18, but if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Can I say this? The Spirit of God will never lead you to sin. if you are led by the Spirit of God, you will not have to worry about being in the wrong place or saying the wrong thing. He is going to lead you in the paths of righteousness. He goes on, he says, now the works of the flesh are evident. In other words, everybody knows this. They're adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, putting things before God, sorcery, which is the word pharmakia, which is where we get the word pharmacy, which sorcery, what is sorcery? It's drug use. It's drug use. It's getting yourself in a state of mind, opening your spirit up to different things, and it does. It's hatred. It's contention. I meant to tell you fornication. The word there for fornication is pornea. It's where we get the word porn. So it's exposing yourself to things like that. Jealousy, outburst of wrath, selfishness, ambition, dissensions and heresy, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. In other words, he's saying, this is not a complete list, but it's pretty complete. It's pretty good. So here's what I'm saying. If you find yourself doing this, I don't have to tell you to stop. You need to be telling yourself to stop. We're not saying you have liberty to do whatever you want to do. It's not what the Holy Ghost is saying through the Word of God at all. He's saying if you find yourself during that list, you're the wrong. You've got to repent. You've got to change your life. I think most of us have done that. I think most of us have started our spiritual journey and we're trying to work it out with God. We're trying to walk the path of righteousness. And yet there's still things that trip us up. And he says here, he says, pursue the things which make for peace. Christians, pursue the things which make for peace. Pursue the things that edify the body of Christ. And you would say, but I'm right. You ever been right in an issue and been wrong? I'm right. They're the ones that need to shut up. You can be right and be wrong. You can be right in the issue, but wrong in your attitude. Pursue the things that lead to peace. Oh, how the body of Christ needs to hear this message. The way of Christ is the way of love. Wouldn't you have loved to have met Jesus? I mean, you know, we talk about heaven, we talk about streets of gold, we talk about mansion. Who cares? I want to see Him. Heaven is all about Jesus to me. You know, no matter who met Jesus, they didn't leave condemned. He met a lady that was caught in the act of adultery. The church today probably would have been the one stoning her. But He says, I don't condemn you. Now He said, go and sin no more. Don't continue this practice. Don't continue this walk of life. But He met this woman with grace. He met her with compassion and mercy. I am sometimes amazed at how Christians forget to use grace when we talk with each other. Pursue the way that leads to peace. Husbands, pursue peace in your home. You can be right in the issue, and if you destroy your unity, if you destroy the peace in your house, I'm going to tell you, you're going to lose. You're going to come up short. You're going to wish that you had kept your mouth shut. And the same way goes in the church. You might be right on the issue, but there's sometimes we just need to shut up. Pursue. Seek it. Seek to live in peace with all men. Seek to live in peace with Him. Ephesians 4, 29 and 32. I promised myself I was going to preach a short sermon today, so I'm going to really try. Ephesians 4, 29 and 32 says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Let no corrupt communication, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ has forgiven you. This is the conduct becoming a believer, is that we walk in love, that we speak love. All my life when I grew up, I thought if I don't cuss, I'm all right. If I don't cuss and I don't tell dirty jokes, I've got it together. I must be pleasing to God, and I just feel like I'm probably getting a gold star because I didn't tell that dirty joke even though I knew it. You know what? Corrupt word, you know what that means? It's paleos, something that stinks or is rotten. Let me tell it this way. Are you speaking death? Are you speaking life? Jesus spoke life. We're supposed to be like him. Now let me ask you a real personal question. Are you speaking death over yourself? Are you speaking life? You see, sometimes we're kinder to other people than we are to ourselves. Sometimes when we look ourselves in the mirror, we say, "You're so stupid." Now, we don't say it out loud because we're afraid our wife might hear us and we don't want her to repeat it. "I agree, you are stupid." We don't say those things out loud, but we look at ourselves and we say, "You're so ugly. You're so stupid. Can you do anything right?" Can you believe that Jesus would look you in the mirror and say, "You're so stupid"? Come on. There is no way. There's no way that he would speak to us that way. But what if I'm speaking to myself that way? That's not godly. It's not godly. I'm supposed to speak life to myself. Now that don't mean I get in the mirror and say, "My Lord, my Lord. Woo-hoo-hoo. That Treva is a lucky woman." No, it's not that. It's just looking at yourself in the mirror and say, "I'm created in God's image. I have a lot of shortcomings. But there are giftings and talents that God has placed in my life. And Father, I just want to thank you for making me, me. Oh my. Can you do that? Come on, would you stay with me? Can you look yourself in the mirror and say, "Thank you for making me, me. I'm not perfect. Truth of the matter is, I'm not even good. But I'm made in his image. He's doing a work in me." And Philippians 1:6 says he's going to complete it. God doesn't make junk. So don't talk to yourself that way. But don't talk to another believer that way. Let's spend our time edifying each other. Let's encourage each other. You know, if somebody comes to you and says, "I have a dream," don't squash their dream. Don't say, "You ain't ever going to do that. You're not that smart. You're not that talented." Do we do that? Yes, we do that. That maybe is an exaggeration of what we do, but we do that. We do that quite a bit in the body of Christ. I just got a feeling we ought to say, "You go for it. I'll be praying for you." You know what? With God, all things are possible. And if God has placed something in your heart, you can do it. Because it's not about you, it's about him. So it may seem large and it may seem hard, but with God and you together, nothing's impossible. Let's encourage each other. If it doesn't edify, shut your mouth. Some of the wisest words you ever hear, I think, is by Thumper on the Disney movie. "If you can't say nothing nice, don't say anything at all." I think that ought to be Bible. We used to say in our church, "Build up or shut up." Honestly, If you can't say something that's going to encourage the body of Christ, going to encourage a brother or sister, keep your mouth shut. Don't discourage them. How do we ever think that discouraging people is going to move them closer to God? Where did we get that warped thinking? That's warped. You're not going to move people to want to know Jesus by putting them down. You're going to show them the love of Christ. You're going to show them that with them and God, they can do whatever He calls them to do. Amen. And then he goes on, and I call it this, don't destroy your testimony with a fork. And everybody that's a little bit overweight goes, oh, I wish he would. I was asked one time a few years ago to go to this special convention where they were bringing nonprofit leaders all over the state, and they were bringing them together to hear this. And it was, the governor was there, and the mayor of Louisville was there. It was a lot of really important people, and me. And it was on obesity. And they had the biggest buffet that you could ever imagine. I mean, lunch meat and just all kinds of roast beef, which is like, get out of my way. And this verse came to my mind. Proverbs 23, 1 and 2. When you sit down to eat with a ruler, consider carefully what is before you and put a knife to your throat if you're a man given to appetite. I thought, Jesus, what did you have to bring that verse to my mind for? Because I was getting ready to step up to the buffet line and I was really considering taking two plates. And I'm at a meeting talking about obesity. This is going to look wonderful when they see my two plates. So I did like all the girls. A little bit of this. And I walked back to the plate or to the table and I ate it and I was still starving. So I went to Burger King after I left that. That's really not what that is talking about. It's really talking about if you are eating with someone that believes a certain way, that they're not supposed to eat something. Paul says, I consider everything clean. But what's more important? Me getting to eat my bacon or walking with somebody in love? Paul says, this is the easy one. Let's walk with them in love. Let's walk with them and let's be in love together. Matthew chapter 15, verse 11 through 20. These are the words of Jesus. It's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth defiles a man. Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? I don't think I have to explain that, do I? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart and they defile a man. For out of the mouth proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. It's not what you eat. It's the words you speak. It's not what you eat that's going to kill you. It's the words you speak. It's not what you're putting in your body, which there are healthier choices, Doc. Got a doctor up here on the front row, and he's probably saying, oh, come on now, say something healthy. Okay, eat celery sticks and carrots, right? Yeah! Before the roast beef sandwich. We can make healthier choices. And bad choices kill people at the table, right? We know that. But what's going to kill us spiritually is what's coming out of our mouth. Well, what's coming out of our mouth is in our heart. See, you can try to change these words, but it's short-lived. You got to change the heart. You got to put good things in. You got to read the word and find out that God always spoke life. And I need to speak life too. So let's speak things that are good. When your liberty hinders the work of God, it must yield. Galatians 5:13, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty, only do not use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Don't use your liberty. You have liberty. You have liberty in the church. You have liberty with Jesus. Now, do we know what that means? Do we understand that? It's not all about rules. You have liberty. But if you're with somebody that maybe doesn't feel like they have that liberty, you constrain yourself. You know, Daniel and the three Hebrew children, they were taken captive and they were taken to a foreign land. And they were given meat to eat. And they knew that that meat had been sacrificed to idols. That was a no-no in the law. You don't eat meat that's been sacrificed to idols. But they were not free men, they were slaves. The Bible says this, though, in Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, one of the most profound statements. The Bible says that Daniel purposed in his heart not to defile himself with the king's meat. He made the guy that was serving them, he said, give us 10 days. Let's test us in this. Just give us vegetables, bread and water. Keep the meat. Withhold the meat. That's a huge sacrifice, if you ask me. And we'll prove. Let God prove himself. And after 10 days, they look better. That's not the big deal. The big deal is Daniel purposed in his heart not to defile himself. Oh, that I would that Christians would purpose in their heart to walk in love. Conduct that becomes a believer. There is liberty. There are people, we all have different things that we believe that it's all right to do, that maybe you don't have any conviction whatsoever. You know, I was brought up, old Pentecostal, where it is wrong to dance. I didn't even go to my own senior prom. I wasn't having that. I mean, it's just wrong to dance. I didn't even dance with my wife. We just didn't dance. That's a sin. Oh my God, you're going to split hell wide open if you dance. Well, when my oldest son got married, they danced the night away. And this whole Pentecost thing rose up in me. And I began to look at this. And I thought, they're not drinking. They're not rubbing up on each other. They're just dancing. They're having a good time. And you know what? I thought, I've been fed a bill of goods. Now, are there dances that's probably evil? Absolutely. There are places that you probably do not need to go to dance. But in itself, God created the dance. God created us to dance before Him. You understand what I'm saying? You know, Chuck Swindoll. Everybody know Chuck Swindoll? I love, let me tell you, you have my blessing to listen to anything Chuck Swindoll says or any book that he writes. You have my blessing to read. And I love it. I love this guy's teaching. One of these days, I'd love to go on a cruise with him. He takes these Alaskan cruises and he speaks all week. And I think, oh, I'd love to do that. It's because I love this guy. But we have some differences. Considerable differences. You guys know how I feel about drinking alcohol. I'm a teetotaler. Don't want any part of it. That's because my dad was a drunk. I've told you that before. Well, Chuck Swindoll, after a whole week of ministry, he's in a town that he doesn't know anybody. He goes to this nice restaurant and he gets the menu and he looks through the menu and he sees some food that he thinks, man, would a glass of wine be nice with this meal? Now, do you think that glass of wine would send him to hell? No. I don't. No. I don't at all. And neither did he. But there was a prompting in his spirit not to do that. So his waiter comes to his table and he says, what can I get you to drink? And he said, I'll take a tea. A glass of tea. And the waiter says, "Your voice sounds familiar." And Chuck didn't tell who he was. He said, "Oh, really? I guess I got one of those voices." So later, as the waiter was waiting on Chuck, he put it together. He knew who Chuck was, but they never discussed it. But he watched Chuck. He watched his order. He was looking at him. See, the waiter was a recovering alcoholic. And once he figured out that Chuck was a minister of the grace of God in a very public setting, he really watched him. And at the register, he told him, he said, "You're Chuck Swindoll." And Chuck said, "Yes, I am." And he said, and he told him that testimony, I'm a recovering alcoholic, and I was watching to see what you ordered. Would it have been wrong to order a glass of wine? At that opportunity, it would have been.
Yes.
Because it was going to cause that young man to stumble had he done that. He didn't know that, but the Spirit of God knew it. Don't use your liberty to sin or to make someone stumble. You understand what I'm trying to tell you? The way is the way of love. Let's walk in love. Let's build each other up. Let's encourage each other as long as we can. Let's do these things correctly. 1 Corinthians 10:23 says, "All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify." So they're lawful, but they're not always helpful, and they don't always edify. How will I know the difference? How will I know when I'm in one of those situations that it may cause somebody to stumble? You won't. But He does. When you walk in fellowship with the Spirit of God, He probably will not tell you, "Don't do this," but you'll feel a prompting. You'll just know that something here, be careful. Aren't you glad the Spirit of God lives within you? I love the Holy Ghost. There's three simple reminders that I want to help you. I want to tell you, it's going to help you maintain your balance in Christ. And then we'll have one more thing to say. Number one is to be considerate. How will my decision affect the body of Christ? Remember last week I told you, yes, you really are your brother's keeper. It really does matter how you live your life, because we need to be kind and considerate, tender-hearted with one another, forgiving one another. It's very possible that in a church this size, there's already people that hurt your feelings. Get over it. Come on. Forgive people. As Christ has forgiven you, it's not worth hanging on to. Forgive them. Number two, be convinced. Be convinced. In other words, you know your convictions. And make sure they're godly. Make sure they're biblical. If you have a conviction like me, I'm not going to touch wine or beer or anything like that, then stand on your conviction. Stay true to it. Don't let anybody talk you out of it. Don't let anybody push you into doing something that for you, it's wrong. See, even if you have maybe you're in the same mindset that I used to be, that dancing's wrong. Well, if we get to a wedding together and I'm out there cutting a rug, which I will not be. You understand what I'm saying? Let's be convinced. Don't let me talk you into dancing. I'm not going to ask you, by the way. But don't let anybody push you into doing something that for you, it's wrong. For you, the Holy Spirit says, I want you to stay away from it. Samson was told, don't cut your hair. Is there anything wrong with cutting your hair? Goodness, no. But for Samson, there was. Don't cut your hair, Samson. I want you to take the Nazarene vow, which means don't drink alcohol, don't cut your hair, and I think there was one other thing. It's conviction of the Holy Ghost to him, not to the church. Be convinced, and the last thing is be consistent. Let your words and your actions match up. My goodness, if there's one thing that the body of Christ needs to get, it's consistency. Let's be consistent. Please be the same people in church as you are on Monday at work. If you want to shine, if you want Jesus to be able to use you, be consistent. And the last thing he says is, whatever is not from faith, it's sin. That's a little bit difficult. You see, we're called to walk in faith. We are people of faith. Whatever you do outside of faith is sin. That's what the scripture says. So we walk according to faith, which what that means is we're walking according to the Spirit of God leading us. The Spirit of God leads us, each one in our own path. And as we walk by faith. Why is it so important that I not drink? I don't know, but I don't want no part of it. Can I just say one thing? You should not expect more from me than you expect from yourself. Right. Too many people look at the church. It's all right for me to have a glass of water up here, but if I had a Miller Lite, you would be extremely offended. Well, I ain't no different than you. I may have a different calling for a different office, but we're all believers in Christ. Why we look at the ministry, why we look at certain people and say, well, they can't do this. They shouldn't talk that way. They shouldn't do this. They shouldn't eat this way. We put all kinds of rules on the ministers. Well, I'm just going to dump it right back on you. Same rules apply to me, apply to you. If you'd be offended if you saw me with a Miller Lite and a cigarette in my hand, then I'm going to be offended if I see you with that. Because if it's good for me, it's good for you. Now, if I come to your house and we eat dinner together, and you have a bottle of wine, I will ask you for a glass of water. I will not drink your wine with you. But neither will I be offended if you have a glass of wine. The Bible says don't be drunk with wine. How much wine does it take? I don't know exactly. But for me, I'm not going to find out. Now, I do believe there's a verse also says, in Proverbs, I believe, that says when it starts turning in the cup, kings and priests should not even look at it. And then 1 Peter says, you are kings and priests. So I think I could probably build a case on staying away from it. But if I did, one of you would say, but Jesus turned water into wine. And when I get to heaven, I'm going to say, why did you do that? Man, you just frustrated the fire out of me. I can lay it down until you went that route. I don't understand it all, folks. I'm going to tell you. But I understand one thing really well. We are called to love each other. We're called to edify each other. And if we want to be a church that stands out in Henry County, it's going to be a church that loves each other. Not only loves each other, but loves and greets new people, greets people that come in. We immediately embrace them. Immediately we love them. That's the body of Christ. Stand with me if you would. It ain't bad. I think I kept it under 40 minutes. Does somebody have a gold star for me? You should have. If you do not know Jesus as your Savior, the most exciting life that you will live is when you give Him your heart. Walking with Christ is not about the rules. It's about an adventure. He's got your destiny. He's got your path, and the blessings of God are upon your path. You need to walk with Him. Walk with Jesus. Don't let anybody put all the rules on you. Just walk with Jesus. Let Him speak to you and love you. I pray for these people, Father. If there's anyone here today that does not know you, I pray, Lord, that they ask you into their hearts. I pray that they admit that they're a sinner and that they need help. They need forgiveness. They need grace and mercy. I pray, Father, Lord, that as soon as they call out to you, you answer them and bring your love into their heart. I know you're so faithful to do that. But Lord, more than that, I pray for the rest of us that have been saved and been Christians and we're walking this journey together. I pray that we would choose the path of love. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you chose us. We thank you and we honor you. And I'm just asking you, Lord, help us to make the right choices. And choosing to love is always the right choice. Watch over my words, watch over their words to always be edifying. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.